And now, brought to you by Guru Energy Drinks. Good energy, smart organic. Sell at www.guruenergy.com. Coming to you live, but not really live, from Gut Check World Headquarters in the capital city of a boxing glove-shaped state and Gut Check South Command, deep in the belly button above the buckle of the Bible Belt, it's the Gut Check Podcast with your hosts, Ted Kluck and Zach Bartles.
Hey, welcome to the Gut Check Podcast. I am Ted Kluck.
Hey, welcome to the Gut Check Podcast.
What was that?
I don't know.
No, seriously, what was that?
I don't know. I'm sorry, Ted.
No. I want you to talk about what you're doing here with your words and your voice.
I decided it'd be funny if I did like what like 8-year-old people do when they just say the thing that somebody said after they say it, but in a stupid voice.
In a mocking voice.
Yeah.
Was it funny? Did it please you in that way?
I don't know. I'm still sort of laughing about it, so I guess so.
I guess it did. Well, listen, do you want to do the intro today? Why don't you do it?
No, because I feel like if I do it, you're just going to do back to me what I just did to you. So
no, I'm not going to.
See, I'm too smart for that.
I'm too mature for that. I'm not going to do it. I want you to do it. Just do something different.
I feel like we're already introed, man. We're already in.
No, I want you to do it. Do it right now.
It's just like Charlie Brown in the football. I know what you're going to do.
I'm literally not going to do anything because that's not my thing. That wasn't my thing when I was 8. I didn't do that when I was 8 years old.
Ted, all I hear, I mean, I hear your voice, but I see Lucy Van Pelt's mouth moving. You know what I mean?
I didn't do that when I was 8 years old. Do it. Do the intro.
You're telling me that when you were 8, you're more kind of mature than I am at 38? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yes.
I believe it, man. I definitely do.
Do it. Do the thing.
All right. Welcome to the Gut Check Podcast.
Tell them who you are. Tell the listeners who you are.
I'm Ted Kluck.
Yeah, and tell them who I am.
This is my. I don't know. I don't want to do this. I don't like this.
All right. Hey, welcome back to the Gut Check Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always by Zachary Bartles, and I am back from the land of milk and honey, the Villages, a retirement community in Florida where I spent the last week of my life.
Did you get VD?
I did not get VD.
Good. It sounds like that's really dodging a bullet down there, even if you don't do anything, you know, iffy.
Baby, it's nuts down there. It's nutty. You got all kinds of old people, and what they've done is every activity that there is in the Villages, like golf and shuffleboard and tennis, and now they're bored, and they just have all kinds of sex, right? Because golf and tennis, it only stays interesting for so long, you know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm back. I survived it. There was an undercurrent of sadness to the whole place, you know?
Now, is that just the Villages or all of the greater Orlando area, including Disney World and Chaz Marriott's timeshare?
I didn't get a chance to see Chaz at his timeshare, but let me suss out where this Villages place actually is, man, because I was remiss before I went down. I thought it was in like Orlando proper. Mm-hmm. It's not, dude. This place is a good 45 minutes north of Orlando in the middle of the swamp. It was literally just a bunch of cheap land that some dude bought up. Oh, P.S. footnote to this conversation. You know who the dude was that launched this place? The dad of the chick on Judas. What's that show we used to watch that we were all excited about for a while with a guy from the 80s, Blacklist. You know, the girl from the Blacklist?
The chick pretending to be Irish?
No. That was a different show. Right.
That was Burn Notice. I'm sorry.
Right. Blacklist.
So the main character on the Blacklist?
The main character, the girl character, her parents started the Villages thing in Florida.
What the world are the odds, man?
Dude, they bought this cheap land. All right, because it's in the middle of nowhere, baby. Nowhere. And they put up a couple of golf courses and tennis courts, and the old people started buying, you know, throwing up houses around there. Now the thing is huge. It's like 15 miles long.
And you weren't able to kind of leverage that into meeting James Spader?
No, I didn't get to meet Spader. I can confirm that.
Huh.
All right, I confirm that I didn't meet Spader. I did play shuffleboard. I played a lot of shuffleboard. I did. I kid you not, and I'm pretty good, man.
Now, How long until you are about the age, the mean age of the resident, average resident of the...
Now, that's the thing. In the villages, there's kind of like... The age range, I would say you have to be 55 to buy in there.
Okay. That seems like it might possibly be illegal age discrimination, but okay.
Yeah, so 55 is the low end. The high end is, you know, death. So anywhere like above 90, north of 90. But so there are like, and people in the villages can suss this out for you. There are like young neighborhoods. So if you're younger, you don't want to get stuck in one of like the old neighborhoods. You know what I mean? You want to be where the action is.
Which could mean any number of different things.
Yeah.
Shuffleboard itself on down.
Also, every aspect of shuffleboard, and I won't explain the game in great detail. If you're curious, look it up. But every aspect of shuffleboard is like a phallus joke waiting to happen. And I'll tell you this, I made all of them last week.
Well, you got to do something when you're stuck in the villages, man.
You got to do something.
Looking back, you know, I really defy anyone to judge you when they weren't there. They don't know what it was like.
They don't know. They don't know what I went through, right? It was actually nice, man. It was actually kind of nice. We stayed in this house with a pool right in the backyard. I felt like Apollo Creed. I'm in the pool. I'm playing catch with a tennis ball, watching a Church's Chicken commercial like in Rocky IV. It was amazing, baby.
It sounds like it was a good time in that you didn't spend like 20 minutes on two different podcasts talking about how just horrible it was.
No, it was a good time, man. All kidding aside, it was weird. And I told a lady at church, I went to this church, and I don't want to get into this, man, for fear of offending people who I love and who love me. But what am I talking about? The tagline. You know what I mean? Churches have a tagline or a slogan. Yours doesn't. Good churches don't. But but anyway, this church's slogan was play hard, pray hard.
Oh.
Right, because that's biblical.
Now, you know? My church does have sort of a slogan that we use, like on our bumper stickers.
Okay.
And it's
play hard, pray hard.
It is play hard, pray hard. And actually, what's odd is at the bottom it says the villages, just north of Orlando. No, yeah. Actually, we sometimes put no gimmicks, just gospel on
okay.
things.
Yeah.
And then I was reading a book of yours to blurb it.
Yeah.
And there was a chapter called I Think Your Gimmick Is Not Having a Gimmick. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, whoops.
No, no gimmicks, though. That's your thing.
Right. Not having a gimmick is the gimmick.
Is your gimmick. Exactly. No, but this church's gimmick was playing hard, right?
And praying hard. So,
and
yeah.
Praying you know. Hard. So this lady comes up to me at church.
Were you doing anything to the blinds at the time? Or
everybody, no, I was not doing anything to the blinds. Everybody in this church was north of 65, probably, right? So this lady comes up to me. It's Memorial Day weekend. She's all togged out in her like American flag gear. She's got some American flag earrings on. And she comes up to me to say hello, and she immediately starts apologizing for the earrings. And I said, no, I love them. I said, they're the least weird thing I've seen all week.
How'd she take that?
It took her a minute. You know, it took her a minute, but I delivered it in a cheerful way. You know what I mean? I had a cheerful like lilt to my voice. So I wasn't being glum. Baby, it was nuts, man. But we got you got a bunch of content for the program today. I feel like I'm bringing very little to the table.
Stockpiling things since last time we were supposed to record. I was away and didn't have access to my phone, and then I had a couple of thoughts of you just kind of sitting there sadly, waiting for my call.
Yeah,
and you know, texting your wife like baby, I'm glum today.
Yeah, no. Baby, you've got a bunch of tweets and stuff because unbeknownst to me, because I've been in the villages and away from my technology, people have been reacting positively to our last episode. It got a lot of traction, did it not?
Yeah. That one people loved, and I don't blame them. It was great. People liked the picture of you. I did get a couple of kind of tentative reports back about the Umbros.
No, we've got reports on the Umbro guy.
From a friend of mine named Stacy, who really it surprised the crap out of me that we had her as a listener, even if it was just once.
Yeah.
Because I think she probably unironically is following some of the people that we ironically read tweets from.
Interesting.
But she told me that the guy's name was Becker.
Becker. His name is Becker.
She remembered that because her brother, who also went to Taylor, used to, along with some of the other guys on the, maybe on the football team, maybe in the dorm, I don't know what the connection was, would rhyme that with something by way of teasing him about the Umbros incident.
That's right.
Any of this ringing a bell?
It is ringing a bell because I happen to know some of the football players. I was friends with some guys who lived on this guy's wing, now that you mention it. Because they lived on the same dorm wing as this this person you're talking about, her brother. So it's all coming together for me. So this is a breaking news item. This is an update on what we sussed out last week. I feel like we're a step closer to getting to this this Becker guy.
Yeah, all we need now is to find where he is today and tell him we want to dig that chapter of his life back up, and we'll get him on the podcast.
We want to talk about it. I want to know how he feels about it.
Talk through this, man.
Talk it through.
Let the Umbros
begin. That's right. Baby, stop me if I asked you this last week. Did you ever have a pair of Umbros?
No, heavens no.
No, me neither. KK asked me that in the car because we were listening to the app, and she's like, "Did you ever have Umbros?" I'm like, "Dude, is Brees no?"
I was about as far from Umbros guy as you can get.
Did you forget the sport that I played? Come on, yeah. You and I were as far from Umbros guys.
Yeah, we were like two different paths away, but equally
two different
distant.
Paths away, but equidistant away from the Umbros. Well, baby, I've got a little segment that I'd like to resurrect before we get too deep into reader feedback.
Do it.
Last week, I have in front of me an energy drink. This is something. This was a core kind of value of the program early on in our history as a radio product. We would both grab an energy drink, the same drink, and we would review it on the air. And I happened to be in the gas station today on the way into the studio, and I had a can catch my eye. So I bought a can, and I want to know if you've heard. First of all, I want to know if you've heard of it. And then I want to kind of suss out what I'm dealing with here. It's called Spider.
No, I've not heard
of
Spider.
Seen Spider?
No. What? That sounds gross, though.
Oh, it's terrible. Well, I don't want to get into the flavor yet. It's called Spider Energy Drink. Okay, and this is one of those like recovery drinks. So it's strawberry lemonade is the ostensible flavor of this thing, and it says replenish, recover, renew with an exclamation point.
Do you feel renewed?
I don't, and I'll get to why in a minute. But so it's called Spider. There's no copy on the can except the words "Rise Again" with a exclamation point.
It sounds like something that would be in our Re-Raptured book.
I know we should have somebody drinking Spider. And Re-Raptured. And then this is the worst part. There's a graphic image of a spider, like a huge spider on the can, and it looks like a seedy guy's tattoo. You know what I mean?
I know exactly the spider that's on the can.
Yeah, when you're in a general public situation, as I was in Orlando at Disney, I feel like I saw a lot of these spider tattoos on the upper arm of certain guys whose upper arms I didn't want to see, if you know what I mean. And it says this. It says, manufactured under the authority of Spider Energy Drink.
The all-consuming,
omnipotent authority of Spider Energy Drink.
Under which you may or may not rise again.
Under which you may or may not rise again. Under the authority of a company that you've never heard of in your life.
Well, that sets your mind at ease. Like, what conditions was this canned under? And you're like, it was under the authority of the spider company. So,
like, who's doing this? Who's behind this? You know? I'm not just going to buy this thing at the gas station and put it into my body not knowing whose authority this was bottled under. You know? I, for one, am grateful that they have sussed this out. Now, taste-wise, what we're looking at is chemical strawberry drink.
Oh, dude, fake strawberry taste is hideous.
Yeah, fake strawberry, but it's here's the weird thing, Zach. It's really salty.
What?
It tastes like somebody dumped like a half a shaker of salt into this thing.
What's the sodium content on the
label? I'm looking there? Right now. It says 65 milligrams.
I don't know if that's only a lot.
Which is only 3% of your daily value, but I think they lied because this thing tastes like a salt shaker with a little strawberry juice mixed in.
Hey, by the way, the fake strawberry taste comes from a kind of biological product that comes from beavers.
What?
Look this up, man. Don't take my word for it. Like the beaver's anal gland.
What?
This is not a joke. This is totally true.
Baby, you're kidding me.
Google and be ready to have a weird, really weird conversation with your covenant eyes, friend.
Yeah, okay.
Beaver anal gland strawberry. And you will find for sure that this is something.
It sounds like a Usenet group. Alt.backslash.
Only 9 members.
Yeah, yeah.
But that kind of, for me, it kind of pushed me over the edge of I do not consume fake berry taste things. I've always thought it was kind of like every fake fruit flavor is its own kind of offensive. Like fake banana it doesn't taste anything like banana.
Sure.
It's so gross.
Sure.
Fake grape, but fake strawberry to me is the most offensive. And I think it's because it has kind of anal origins.
Anal origins.
Which would
there
be a great
there
band
you have
name.
It, folks.
No.
That would be an interesting band name for sure. Well, baby, speaking of bands, we talked a lot last week on the program about a band from Taylor called Exit 59. Mm. I think that struck a nerve with people. We had several emails from Drew Geis. Have you heard anything more from Geis? I feel like he's our source. He's our...
No new information as of yet.
Okay. Yeah, he's kind of our link to the outside world of Taylor, of all things Taylor.
Through his unnamed... Texas.
Through his unnamed sources. I mean, Drew, far be it from us to know like who he's connected with out there, you know. But he got us some great information. Baby, you've got some positive tweets and feedback to read to us.
Yeah. I think I sent them to you so we could do these together here. We've gotten a number of emails and tweets, people sending us pictures of this Strongbow cider.
Okay.
Saying, you know, Ted Strongbow should be the spokesman.
Yes.
Or maybe he started it or all these things. You know, kind of blurring the line between the fantasy of re-raptured or re-raptured again and reality, which I like. I encourage.
Baby, what thrills me about that is that they're listening, they're reading, they're interacting with the product. You know what I mean? They're on board with this. And these people are going to they're going to love what we're working on now currently.
What kind of bothers me is that this, like, what seems like kind of a low-rent hard cider company is reaping however small benefits from our hard work.
I feel like legal. We need to get legal to look into that. I feel like there's a proprietary issue here with
our
character.
And by that... Oh, go ahead.
No, that's all I know. I don't even know what that means. I just feel... I feel infringed upon. By this company.
We need to get legal on it, and by that we need somebody to start and then completely forget about a Twitter handle called Gut Check Legal.
That's right. Baby, did you ever find the identity of that person who was behind Happy Rant Legal?
No, I was accused of it being me like 10 times.
Yeah.
And it was pretty funny, but it's gone now, isn't it? I don't think it's around anymore.
I don't know. I have no idea. I think they tweeted for a while. They were like huge fans, and then they just sort of fell away.
It happens with me with listening to podcasts.
You know what? They're falling away though, and here's the mysterious thing about it, and then we'll get back on track. But their falling away coincided nicely with Al Trogues quitting the program.
So are you implying something?
I'm not. I'm not a detective. Far be it from me to make these kind of connections, but I feel like Gut Check Legal might have been the handiwork. Of one Al Trogues.
Or Happy Rant Legal.
Happy Rant Legal.
Maybe we could get Al Trogues on Gut Check Legal because, you know, he doesn't have as much going on as he used to, so.
Baby, I was in Troguesville, USA for a minute. I stopped in Tallahassee for lunch.
And you didn't give him a call, huh?
I didn't, no. you know, I had the kids with me. I had KK with me.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah.
Yeah, you know. But no, I didn't. Baby, read me some tweets.
All right, here we go.
Nice tweets. Okay.
Here's one. Now, this guy is all over the place. I got two in a row from the fourth Dave.
Okay.
This guy's name is Dave Mitchell. I'm pausing for you to say something like,
you know, I was trying to think of something. I was trying to think of something for Daver. Davester.
Don't do that. Okay. Here, let's start again. Dave Mitchell.
Daver, the Davester.
And it says, Gut Check Pod, the olive tree counter hack scenario is busting me up at work. If Gut Check Podcast were a restaurant, I'd always eat there.
Oh, now, well, that's nice.
It is. That's a very unique way to make that compliment.
Exactly. What a nice analogy for him to make.
Returning again and again for nourishment and enjoyment.
Food. Yeah. Auditory food. Maybe if we were a restaurant, what kind of restaurant would we be?
I'm thinking like tacos, right?
Tacos, of course, man.
Tacos and energy drinks.
Tacos and energy drinks. Two menu items. Simple.
Keep it simple.
Would we be one of these like Brooklyn like gastro pubs where the tacos are like, you know, $36 a piece?
Or would we be one of those like Roach Coach taco like food carts?
Yeah.
Where you're like, how do they have all those ingredients in there?
I'm thinking a food truck, man. A food truck. But a nice one. You know what I mean? It's like a clean one.
Speaking of the olive tree counter hack, what he's referencing is a tweet from Olive Tree, which now has a sense of humor. I think they found like the guy over there who's funny and young and can talk our language.
Yeah.
Which is apparently not English, or I would have said speak our language. And they tweeted a picture of like a guy with an old school keyboard.
Yeah.
With a old Palm Pilot attached to it.
Okay.
Like with his fingers sort of hovering over the keyboard. And it said, call us, Gut Check Pod. We've got your Palm Pilot. We're just making some, quote, adjustments to it.
Oh.
Which cracked me up.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Funny story, though. I bought some Olive Tree product off eBay 2 days ago. It arrived. And I was very disappointed. So
really?
I had something else in my craw. Well, it was a CD, and it had a whole bunch more Bible versions on it.
Okay.
And I thought, well, if I can't download them, I can still buy them on eBay.
Sure.
I open it up. You have to go online and unlock them all. And the website that you go to doth not exist anymore. So.
Wow. Yeah. Now, you know what? I'm going to take the bull by the horns here. The Uh-oh. Bull strength by the horns. And I'm putting this out there. And we haven't talked about this as a company. But I know you're gonna back me up on this. Olive Tree, be our sponsor.
Oh.
There it is.
You know, that's kind of like when you're a jerk to a girl for a while in high school, and then you're finally like, you know, I like you, and you start trying to date her.
That's what this is, man. We've been messing around with Olive Tree for months. You know, we've been being a jerk to Olive Tree in the hallway, not returning their texts, acting all coy. Let's quit messing around. Let's partner up. Let's get you to sponsor the program.
And of course, a main portion of that would be you providing me with whatever is in the vault.
That's it. I want you to open that vault up. I want you to open the vault up for my partner and get him what he needs.
While you're at it, get Ted's sweatshirt.
Yeah, get me my sweatshirt. Get me an Olive Tree sweatshirt. And my sweatshirt from freaking the other guys.
And while you're at it, make sure that you ignore the fact that we said VD like three times already in this episode and made really kind of iffy references to old people in Florida.
Right.
It's just reality. You know, you gotta deal with dun, 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 dun.
We report what we see.
We report, you decide.
That's why people trust this program.
You know what? I would say there's not really much commentary or opinion at all on this.
It's straight news. It's hard news.
Indeed it is.
It's hard news, and that's what people love about it. And that's what I'm trying to segue here.
Back into the tweets?
Yeah, I'm going to read one. I'm going to read another tweet. I found one that I liked.
All right.
This is from Jacinda.
Jacinda, out of nowhere. And try and tell me what that Twitter handle is.
At ShadesXJ.
Okay.
At ShadesXJ, that's how I'm reading it. All right, at ShadesXJ, Jacinda says, Gut Check Pod literally gives me life.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, take a minute for that one to sink in, baby. If you're prone to dry humor and inside jokes like me, you'll like this podcast too. Hashtag re-rapture. So she's promoting Gut Check Literacy Month. She cares about literacy.
Now, I think that there's a little issue with the code here, though, because hashtag re colon raptured,
yeah.
Hashtags and hyperlinks the R-E, but mm-hmm. then the colon kind of kills the hashtag. So if you're hashtagging re-raptured, leave the colon out so the whole word will get in there.
You know what? I like that, though, because maybe anytime anybody hashtags re, our thing will come up.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
R-E, that's good marketing. Maybe when people are, like, writing emails, and it's like, I'm writing to you, R-E, boom.
Right.
All of a sudden, it's viral. It's guerrilla.
It's guerrilla marketing.
Can you say that anymore?
I don't know if you can. Yeah, you can't say that anymore. Exactly, baby, exactly. Now, there you go, bringing in a current event.
Yeah, and it won't be current anymore by the time this is on the internet, but so what?
That's why people trust this program. You know?
It's time-tested.
I want you to read the one right beneath that, because it's amazing.
Is this MDB?
No, this is Kev Jill. Kev Jill
Okay,
Foley.
Yeah, here we go. And this is from Facebook, not Twitter. Kev Jill Foley says, best app ever. That's in reference to the last one. Laughed so hard. Viva la Umbros.
Viva la Umbros.
If you have a crappy college band app, let me know and I'll submit Candela. Eastern
Candela.
Mennonite University's answer to Striper.
No.
And yes, it was as good as it sounds. I still have the cassette tapes.
Baby, speaking of cassette tapes, how is your mixtape for me coming along?
Oh, man, you know what? I've recorded it in my mind. I just have to put it down on the magnetic medium.
All right, I'm looking forward to that, man. I'm going to hold you to it. And this guy, apparently Eastern Mennonite, dude, every one of these Christian colleges had their house band that was a knockoff of some other band.
But, man, and, Mennonites.
Dude, Mennonites getting crazy to Striper. I love it.
I wonder if there was yellow and black leather involved, and if there was, if it was allowed to have buttons on it. You can't have buttons, but you can have like the V-shaped thing that goes down to like the, you know, the fur beneath the belly button.
Dude, I know exactly what V-shaped thing you're talking about, Seb. You can have that at Eastern Mennonite, but it has to be made out of burlap. The V thing has to be a burlap V thing. Dude, Candela.
It sounds awful.
I would love to see a picture of these guys. I wonder where they got the name Candela. Is that a reference to anything that you know of, like using your seminary training and background? Is that something I should know about?
It's not anything that rings a bell with me. I think it just sounds, it just has that sound, you know, like you take a word like metal or metallic and then you put at the end, right? You know, and
or like candle.
Or like candle, yeah. Candle, it's kind of a mysterious and religious and vaguely Christian reference.
Yeah. Like keep your candela burning for me kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Now, like, I wonder if Kev and or Jill Foley was in this band or if...
Yeah, I wonder what Kev's relationship to the band was. I wonder if he was a fan or like me, if he was kind of aloof and just sort of made fun of Candela when he was at Eastern Mennonite. Maybe he can address this on Twitter or Facebook.
Let us know, Kev. What was your particular relationship to Candela? And it sounds to me like perhaps there's some love there wrapped in real intentional irony, which is, you know, the case for a lot of things I talk about while plugged into my computer, is that I really like something, but I know that it's stupid and that I should be mocked for it. So I'll be like, hey, you remember this thing?
Yeah, exactly. Baby, let's read some 5-star reviews, shall we?
All right. So we've got some folks who are kind of hardcore members of the Gut Check Army who have left us 5-star reviews for non-Gut Check books.
And let me be clear, by all means, do this.
Yeah. This is something that is required.
Right. We are the kind of guys who draw our validation from this, okay? You have no idea how important it is for us to get these reviews and numbers of reviews, numbers of followers. So do this.
So, Ted, would you like to read one of yours first? We can go back and forth here. I got two for each of us.
Yeah, I don't have yours on here.
I got them on a piece of paper.
Oh, you do? Okay. I have only mine, so I'll read this one. This is from... A good friend of the program, our boy Ruddy.
Ruddy.
Yeah, Ruddy. This is on one of my books. It says hard hitting, gracious, and full of wit. This was about a book called Household Gods that I wrote with KK, with my wife. He says this: read this book. Ted pulls very few punches in this excellent expose of sins that silently, seemingly innocently infiltrate our family lives. The honesty is incredibly fresh. Too many Christian bookstore incorporated shelves are packed with fluffy, look at me doing things correctly garbage, or faux humility garbage, or find your wild heart because today is Friday garbage.
Nice.
Ruddy. Ted and his wife Kristen, who is incredible in this book, by the way, she is, lay it all out there. The anecdotes aren't sugar-coated and the language is raw. I can't remember the last time I felt so much of an author's true self was put on the pages. I will be reviewing my numerous highlightings in the future, no doubt. Almost every chapter ends with a section blurb by Kristen. I looked forward to each and every one. Thanks for the fun and much-needed book, Mr. and Mrs. Cluck. Thank you, Ruddy, for that sweet 5-star review, baby. I appreciate it.
Dude, everyone's calling you Mr. Cluck these days.
I know. I like it. I like the formality. We could do with more of that in our culture. Harumph. I just spent my week among retirees, and there's a certain dignity, you know, that our generation lacks.
It sounds like it, indeed. Yeah. All right. Here is one from Michael Woodard, who seems to have kind of... I almost just said divorced, but that's hopefully not the case. Separated himself from his wife's account.
Wow, man. He's seeking some independence.
Maybe it wasn't him. One of these guys, I think it was him, who
sowing
like,
his wild
he
oats.
And his wife were on the same account, and for some reason we made fun of that. By the way, I'm just dying over here.
No, you all right, baby?
I always forget whether to swallow my saliva or try to inhale it, you know?
Yeah. You tried to inhale it.
Yeah, that was wrong, right? Was that the wrong one?
That was the wrong one.
Okay. So this is about my book, The Last Con. Both these are. The things this guy can do with words. Awesome. It really is a good, fast-paced read. I would recommend.
Nice.
Nice and simple, 5 stars. And the name of the review is All the Words, 3 exclamation points.
All the Words. And that's from Woody, right?
Yeah, Woody.
I love Woody. All right, let's get another one. This is another one of mine, I think for the same book. This is from Scott in the 503, right?
Yeah, I think it's Scott McLean.
Scott McLean, Scotty. He says this. This is the title. It does a good job balancing conviction with encouragement. He says, gets to the points with succinct storytelling, relevant examples from the Bible, and the Cluck's personal anecdotes. This isn't a fun read since it pokes and prods at some of the things we evangelical Christians love the most, but it does a good job balancing conviction with encouragement. Thank you, Scotty McLean.
It just occurred to me how humorous it is that you tripped up with Dave when like Scott becomes Scotty and Woodard becomes Woody. It seems like it would have been kind of a natural for Dave. And tell me if I'm kind of speaking out of turn here. Would have become Davey.
Davey.
But instead you went to Davester.
It should be Davey, and that's my bad. And I apologize. It should absolutely be Davey. Davey, did you watch wrestling in the 80s?
I want to say no, yes, a little bit. I don't know. What's the right answer here?
There was a wrestler called Davey Boy Smith. He was in the British Bulldogs. And saying the word Davey reminds me of that. It gives me nostalgic vibes, so I'm going with Davey.
So there was like multiple tribes? I wasn't that much into it. I knew there were some good guys and bad guys.
There were good guys and bad guys, but then they were called tag teams. So
right, yeah, okay, yeah.
Like pairs of two. And there was this tag team called the British Bulldogs. It was Davey Boy Smith and the Dynamite Kid. And they were just these steroidal, like freakish looking dudes. And but they were good guys. Right? So Davey, you're a good guy. All right, baby. Hit me with that next review of yours.
All right, this one's also from Scott in the 503. And let me just say this right now. Our contest that we were having is over now.
Yeah.
And these three folks are the winners.
Fantastic. What do they get? I've forgotten.
They get copies of the Gut Check Guide to Publishing.
Outstanding, baby.
So shoot me your information if I don't already have it. A couple of these people I do, and I will send you some copies of that, and I'll probably throw in some other Gut Check stuff while I'm at it, because I have a box in my closet which is just waiting to be given away. Not the box itself so much as the contents of the box.
If you're the big, big winner, you get the actual box.
And since he wrote two, I guess Scott in the 503 gets the actual box. I mean, then we'll give the stuff to someone else. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this
somebody
one
else
says,
gets the stuff, he gets the box.
If only we could give everyone the box. All right. This is, says, this is again about the last con. Okay. Mr. Bartles. Hey, there's that formality again. I love
like
that.
It. You know what? I like it.
Mr. Bartles kicked it up a notch, although, you know what? Let me back that up. I didn't go to seminary for like 5 years to be called Mr. Bartles.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're going to be formal, I'd like it to be the Reverend Bartles. I don't even just like Reverend. It's got to be
the Reverend. The Reverend Bartles.
The Reverend Mr. Bartles kicked it up a notch with the. Oh, I see. He didn't name it, so they just named it for him. With the last con. It is a classic redemption story. Ex-con trying to get his life back together meets with conflict from his past, but he pulls in enough character development, historical intrigue, and plot twists to make it work in a very exciting way. Bravo! Hopefully this makes Dr. R. Albert Mohler Jr.'s reading list this summer. I love it.
Along with that naval history book that will no doubt make the reading list, too.
Another naval history book.
Another how much naval history can you know? I tell you what, if I'm ever in a sea battle, if I ever find myself on a boat... like battling with another boat, I want Al Mohler on my boat. That guy yes. will know every technique, every sort of like flanking maneuver.
You got to imagine this started as you know, simple enough. Oh, that was an interesting book. And then like next Father's Day, he got another one, and then it just became this self-perpetuating thing.
Dude, I bet he's got a boat because he does well. Let's be honest. Uh-huh. I mean, Al Mohler, he's not hurting. He does well. I bet he's got a boat, and I bet it's made to look like a sea battleship, you know?
A sea battleship?
A battleship that you use in a naval battle.
So you think he has maybe like an 18th century, like Ironsides type thing? Or
I think he's got an Ironsides thing. I think it's a regular like ski boat, but the exterior, the facade is made to look like a...
So it'd be like a teeny tiny, like full battleship.
Yeah, it's not a full battleship. It's a teeny tiny, it's like a... You know, a regular skiing boat, like you could water ski behind it.
Uh-huh.
But it's got the little gun battalions on it.
Uh-huh.
I could see him cruising around on the lake.
And it's got teeny little sailors kind of running around doing things and swabbing things.
Swabbing things, little sailors. Yeah, the deck being swabbed. Like the cannons being primed, etc.
Well, if somebody wants to tweet a picture that they... Photoshop of that happening.
I would like this. Yeah. I want to see Al Mohler on his boat. On his naval sea battleship.
On his sea battleship. Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one.
I've got some more emails and tweets. We'll save them for next time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here is a little Q&A. I promised your readers that I would throw some of these things. If people don't know, you don't manage your own Facebook page.
Right.
I manage it. And there's a big note on it that says, managed by Zach Bartles, meaning contact Ted some other way. And yet people just want to talk to you so badly that they reach out via this. So every once in a while...
People address you as though it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, we've done this once before where like I kind of purged all the queue, queue of Q&A. The Q&A, if you will.
As it were.
So here are just a few more.
Yeah.
Nate offered.
Yeah. Nate Dog.
All right. It says, dude, Ted, I know you don't actually man this page. What up, Bartles? Digging the last con. Well, thank you, Nate Dog.
Nice. Look at that.
But I've been working my way through some of the old HR and GC podcasts. I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest that that's Happy Rant and Gut Check.
Okay.
Yep. And you mention Rocky IV often. It's likely you've seen this, but if you haven't, you really should. And then he links to a kind of goofy 30 for 30 parody, If Rocky IV Was Real. Have you seen that?
I have seen it.
Is it hilarious?
I won't use the word hilarious. It's fun. For a Rocky IV fan, it's a fun 2 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
The kind of thing with that sort of thing, to me, it seems like that sort of thing is usually like, oh, it's funny idea.
That's it, man. It's a funny idea. It's a headline. You know what I mean?
Right. It's like when you, on The Onion, they used to have just headlines that didn't have any story with them.
Right.
And I feel like at some point they started trying to write a story for everything, and a lot of them, the headline gets the laugh, and then the rest of it's just like, nah.
That's it, man. That's it. Totally. Totally.
All right. Next one, Austin Shadle.
Now, Austin Shadle, little backstory. I went to high school with this guy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, this guy's from the HC, man. He's from Hartford City. He's a good dude. Went to Blackford High School. He was class of 95. And, a good dude. Grew up in my neighborhood.
Did he ever wear Umbros that you know of?
No, he was not an Umbro guy. He's like us in being not an Umbro guy. He's like us.
Not to classify people into Umbros and non-Umbros. But
you know, there's two kind of people in the world. Umbro guys and not Umbro guys. Austin Shadle and myself and you are not Umbro guys.
Whereas Becker, indeed, was Becker, and or is.
Becker, for better or for worse, wherever you are, probably wearing a pair of Umbros.
I bet he swore those off after that yearbook, but you never
probably
know.
Probably.
All right, so Austin says, Ted, as a Christian father of three young children, what character qualities should I help my kids develop through sports, which right now is soccer?
Wow. Man, deep question. Kind of makes me wish I was on Facebook so I could, like, really thoughtfully respond to that. But yeah, really, really good question from Austin Shadle. And, I mean, I think where I go typically with these sports and faith questions is, I mean, whatever sort of gospel lessons you're trying to teach in the home, i.e. Humility, repentance, the ability to receive grace and extend grace. I mean, those are the lessons that you want your kids' sports experience to kind of, you know, reaffirm. You know what I'm saying? So I think by and large, sports doesn't come with a different set of, you know, character qualities that, you know, that you want to see in your child. So whatever you're trying to suss out at home, hopefully these are gospel-centered principles. Hopefully you can see some of that in the sports experience as well.
There's some good law-centered stuff you can learn, too. You got to listen to the coach. You got to listen to your parents. If you don't do either, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Things don't go well, et cetera.
Right, right.
Not that I'm trying to answer for you or supplement your answer.
No, I like your supplement.
Spitballing.
No, I like it. I like your supplement.
All right, here's one from Karen Haney Fletcher.
Okay.
I'm from Jackson, Tennessee, and I graduated from Union University. My daughter loved your class, and I have enjoyed your articles in the Jackson Sun.
Nice.
I look forward to reading more of you. I'm glad you and your family have acclimated. The South is different. Your perspective is interesting. I guess that's less a Q&A and more just like a nice thing.
Yeah, that's a nice thing. Your perspective is interesting. I wonder, yeah, that could be taken either way, but I'm going to take it the nice way.
I think that your perspective is interesting. It sounds like a compliment. That shirt is interesting sounds like probably a veiled
No, you know what? You're right, man. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Jeff August, or perhaps August. Hey, Ted, how about giving me a deal on your new book? I've bought others through Amazon, but think $25 is too much for three-week prose. And here's a crazy thing, Ted. You answered this guy already in that I wrote, Ted can't really give you a deal on it. Since the publisher sets the price, Ted does not have a warehouse full of books or control over price points. You might be able to tell I was slightly annoyed by Jeff. to which he replied, does Ted have any books he wants to sell or donate to me? Otherwise, I'll wait and watch for price to go down. And I'd just like to hear your thoughts on that interaction.
Dude. Wow. Yeah. Where to begin, you know? This guy's like the Alan Greenspan of my books, right? He's like tracking the value, setting the value. Like, I think 25 is a little high. I'd pay 17.
Buy, sell.
He's pacing around in a high rise somewhere, glass and steel, you know,
with like big round 90s glasses and like a double breasted suit.
Dude, big round 90s glasses and like a secretary with the. Like a pantsuit, you know, and she buzzes into his office on the intercom and she goes, Jeff, the price of 3 week pros just dropped. It's at 16. And he goes, buy.
Wait, no, donate.
Donate. I think we can get a donation out of this guy.
Dude, is there anything more just maddening? And this happens in a number of different fields than the whole idea that an author has an unlimited supply of books that A, that they have and are willing to give away, and B, that they would be happy and like flattered that you wanted them to give it to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I'm flattered that you like the concept of my book. I'll just send you one. You know what? You know. Don't bother. Here. Put your wallet away.
Money's no good here.
Your money's no good here. I'll go to the trouble of packaging it up and running it to the post office and just sending it gratis.
Because your kids can eat this guy's like mild desire to see if your book is
mild,
good or not.
Mild passing interest in the book.
And here's the thing. You know, I bet with your first book, you were more willing when someone was like, I run a blog. Can you send it to me? That kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
When I sent a few of them out, before I learned that I could just email the people at the publisher and they would send them out.
Right.
Somebody who got a free copy of a book from me directly and I paid the postage, then savaged it on their blog. And I was what? And like copied that review into like CBD and Amazon and Books a Million and all these. I was like, what are you? Yeah, that was the end of me sending people stuff for free.
You should send them a bill for like $14.
You know what that reminds me of? When you and I were fantasizing about sending a bill to somebody else.
Yeah.
But for $40.
Yeah, exactly. We should send two bills.
Really, it's the same idea, right? That was also like, I want to spread the word about your writing. You know, it's great exposure for you. It's kind of like a musician, you know, you can just play for free and it'll be great exposure for you.
Right.
And then that way I've compensated you in some imaginary way.
You've been duly compensated because because I now own the book and it's in my house.
Right.
All the foot traffic, all the people that come to my house will see it.
And if someone asks me about it, I'll loan it to them and they won't buy it either.
Exactly, man. Oh, baby, I've had it. Jeff, it sounds like we're ripping you. We're not, man. You're a good dude. Thanks for being interested. I don't know. How do I redeem this?
Jeff just hadn't thought this through, I think. Don't you think, Ted?
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Jeff is a good dude. He had a good impulse. He's a good listener of the program and frequenter of our online presence.
Is that true? I think this is the only time I've ever seen his name.
Yeah, maybe. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt here. I'm trying to take it positive.
I did something similar to this once, and it's easy to feel like you're kind of just helping someone. I told Mike Whitmer, his first book was printed by Zondervan on these really curly covers that just kind of like any humidity, they just curled up into like a tube.
I know those covers. Yeah.
And so he insisted that they recall them all and send out good covers. So he did, and they put a bunch of them on the free table because I worked in the Zondervan building. And I took a bunch of them, and I gave them to people. I was like, this is a great book. You got to read this. And then I told him, I'm like, hey, I've been spreading the word about your book. I got a bunch of them for free. And then I handed them out. And he's like, why would you do that? And then it occurred to me all at once, like, oh, yeah, this is part of how you make your living.
Dude, look at Mike throwing his weight around with Zondervan. Who does he think he is? Robbie Bell? You know?
He's got another one coming out with them now. I don't know. He's one of these, I think, these academic guys, and now that you find yourself among their number, there's a certain level, like what used to be kind of floated the way of someone like me with the Reverend before their name. In publishing, there's a certain kind of keep the academics happy. That's the sense I get.
Yeah, because these academics, man, they got big egos. You know, they'll make your life miserable. You know what I mean? they'll send 50 emails. You know what I mean? So I get it. I get them wanting to keep. And I'm not saying Whitmer's like that. It's just academics in general. You know, because you're out of the game for a while. You're out of like the real world for a while, and you're cloistered. And
the ivory tower.
The ivory tower. I think you start to get a little different opinion of yourself.
Like when you're at Disney for 3 days and you start feeling like, you know, a little cup of fries actually should cost $19 or whatever.
Exactly,
it is.
Exactly, baby. Exactly. Well, dude, I hate to do this. I hate to rush us along, but I've got to run to another thing here soon. So do we have time to squeeze in the chapter?
Chapter 20, Duke Morrison is the consummate competitor and Strongbow might be the messiah. He really is a beautiful runner. Alex Roth is sure he's just thinking this, but as it turns out, he's saying it out loud as Strongbow strides away from the concourse, his taut hamstrings straining against the white spandex of his Denver Values game pants. This is where he would normally expect Kate to look at him with an eyebrow cocked. Instead, her eyes are affixed to Strongbow's hamstrings as well as the rest of Strongbow. She sighs audibly, which, sighing audibly, is something that she almost never does. We've got to hurry, she finally says. Misty will be here in a minute.
Section break. For James Wiles, being outed as a dispensational fundamentalist is akin to career suicide. He's sweating as he maneuvers his vintage BMW, Reed upscale English professor, off the highway and into the gridlock surrounding Dynex Lifeway Excellence in Christian Publishing Stadium. He pops the Indigo Girls Live at Budokan CD out of his car's audio system and tunes into a sports talk station, which is something he would never do. He would never actually do in real life. But this isn't real life. This, he thinks, is our day, and he needs to get a feel for what he's up against. He should be back in his office sipping a glass of red wine, Facebooking about how much he doesn't care about this afternoon's football game. Subtext, he's too good / smart for sports. And preparing a white paper entitled Phallic Imagery in Children's Public Television Programming, Fact or Fiction. A paper he was excited to give at the Ingham-Eaton County Publicly Funded Arts Initiative's first annual symposium on issues regarding children in literature. It goes without saying that all of that hangs in the balance now. Wow, all of that. Speaking of academics. On the radio, a personality who calls himself Mad Dog is interviewing Duke Morrison. Morrison's voice is predictably low and raspy, even as he talks about the Duke Morrison / Budweiser annual golf outing to benefit unfortunate ethnic children in Greater Denver. I'm just happy to make an impact on the ethnic children of Greater Denver, he says. Wiles knows that he doesn't mean a word of it. Wiles happens to know that there are only two consuming passions in Duke Morrison's life. Football, Dewar's single malt scotch, and the rapture. Okay, three. Morrison used to sit in Wiles' office for hours, florid-faced, his meaty forearms brushing aside volumes of angry girl poetry to spread out his collection of rapture-related ephemera. The two would talk eschatology for hours into the night. Wiles grew out of it. He had assumed Morrison had done the same. Today he'll find out. He will wheel into a parking lot, secure the gun in his waistband, overpay massively for a scalped ticket, and then find a way to get to Denver Values legend Duke Morrison. Section 3.
As Ted Strongbow strides through the lower concourse of Dynex Lifeway Excellence in Christian Publishing Stadium, he draws a few strange looks from security personnel, but for the most part, they just think he's warming up. As he jogs, he is confronted with a thought that has been recurring lately, namely, what if I, Teddy Strongbow, am the Messiah? What if all those newspaper editorials are true and I really am, like, the second coming? Strongbow is about 60-40 in terms of the odds of him actually being the Messiah, the 40 being based on the fact that if he were actually the Messiah, he'd probably be completing more than 48% of his passes, worst in the ASFL. He would never share the Messiah fantasy with anyone out loud, besides maybe the guy he's running to meet, Tim Van Schrimpe. Strongbow has almost reached the rendezvous point, a custodial closet in sub-basement C. He signs a few autographs for Morrison's Budweiser Ethnic Children's Coalition, he's a board member, and poses for a few smiley photographs just to deflect attention. The rest of the team is out for warm-ups. He can hear the stadium's testosterone-laden classic rock music over the loudspeaker. He presses the security code into his contractually mandated awesome locker and enters his also contractually mandated private bathroom. The duffel is still there. Then he scuttles down a dark, abandoned stairwell and into sub-basement C. Van Schrimpe, he suspects, is probably already down there.
Actually, Van Schrimpe isn't there because he's holding a 9mm pistol to the temple of Duke Morrison. While belly crawling through the stadium HVAC system, Van Schrimpe ended up directly above a shaken Morrison, who was taking a moment to change his blood-splattered, officially licensed team polo in a deserted equipment room. Van Schrimpe jimmied open the air vent and descended literally onto Morrison. He cocked the gun and chambered around cinematically as he fell. The lapels of his soiled suit jacket billowed as he fell from the sky. How'd you get out of the athletic tape, Tim? Morrison growls. Van Schrimpe thinks he should be more worried given the gun at his temple. But Morrison is halfway into a bottle of Dewar's, and he also has absolute faith in his own physical abilities and general awesomeness. It's Dr. Van Schrimpe to you, says Dr. Van Schrimpe, doing his best to sound dangerous. Shirtless, here in the bowels of the stadium, Morrison's physique still intimidates him. You do one thing for me, Morrison, and I'll let you live. What is it? Morrison asks, newly aware of the cold steel at his temple. His life, all the trophies, golf tournaments, spokes models, game plans, and comped Cadillacs flashes before his bloodshot eyes. Strongbow starts today's game, Van Schimpy whispers into his florid ear. He jerks the pistol into the side of Morrison's head, snapping it over. And with one smooth motion, he is back up and into the HVAC system. But Strongbow sucks, Morrison says, to nobody in particular.
Strongbow grabbed his shoulder pads, helmet, and shoes on the way out of the locker room, just in case. He is now dressed like an ASFL player, and his Reebok shoes, he's got a multi-year endorsement contract, click-clack, nope, clack-clack, on the concrete floor. Even though it may be the rapture, he still stops to check out his tailored number 7 jersey in the mirror for a few minutes. Strongbow fumbles through the duffel to find an old key taped to the inside of the bag. He uses it to open the door to the janitor's closet in sub-basement C. Now, he knows, transformed into the Rapture Command Center. He knows because he helped Van Schimpy transform it, being the only member of the Rapture Society with access to the stadium and its elaborate technology, including state-of-the-art satellite hookups and armaments. He swings the door open slowly to reveal an entire wall full of computer monitors, flashing lights, and buttons. Van Schimpy wheels around in an office. Van Schimpy wheels around in an office chair, a pistol in his right hand. Their eyes meet. Congratulations, Teddy. You're starting today.
Ooh. I like it, baby. I've got another call beeping in, but this was great, and we will see you next time. Show me a little bit of who you are.
Cut.